Man, I'm going to have to preach good now. This is going to have to be above and beyond. Are you guys having fun? So you understand when Jeremy's up here talking about worship, he's not just talking about singing, right? That's why he called you doers. That's why he said, let your light so shine. The most amazing, purest form of worship is when a person is walking in the will of God, living what Jesus paid for. Because it brings him honor. It brings him glory. It exalts him. It reveals him. It magnifies him. So much in Christianity, we get taught to receive stuff from God and protection and provision. And if we're not careful, we're just always trying to get something from him instead of become what he paid for. It's all about becoming more like him, not just getting a blessing from him. Who knows he's a blessing God? Who knows that our God, Psalm 67, our own God, he shall bless us. Who knows it's not wrong to receive a blessing from the Lord? Our pursuit is transformation, not blessing. He wants to give you a new life through Jesus Christ. So the purest form of worship is when you and I wake up in the morning and understand why we're here and why we're alive and why he's in us. And we begin to walk out his will. That brings glory to God. That's true worship. Amen? Amen. And it makes our song even better. Amen. I got something on my heart here. I tried to get to a scripture this morning. I didn't do well. But we preached all right. We got the gospel out. But there was a scripture in my heart. And there's twofold. There's twofold thing we want to accomplish tonight. It's our last night together as far as the men's conference. And I probably got a couple new guys. I think I see some new faces. How many new people walked in on me for one, just one last crack? Yeah? There's a bunch of you, man. Now, this is tough because I'll try to recap the last two. Roy said, here we go. So who knows what we called this weekend? What's the name of this conference? Okay. So we looked up the definition of champion, and champion is overcoming every rival. We talked about every rival. Stop. Stop. Go back with your trespassing wife. She broke the barrier, man. She broke the man line. Look at all them obedient ladies back here. Miss Tracy, she broke the barrier. She just come up. She's awesome. Overcoming every rival. We talked about your whole purpose in life is to shine and reveal Christ. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine. That's why even the prophet said, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness is going to cover the people, but the light is on you. You can't let the darkness on people be a justification for no light in you. You can't let where people aren't decide where you are. You got to let who he is define you. Don't let what people don't see define what you do see. Don't be dictated by what's going on around you when Christ is in you. Okay? It's just important. Rivals are anything that comes against you shining and being productive in Christ. And I'm not talking about works. I'm just talking about living your life in him with a right attitude. The why behind your life. It's the first thing. I don't know if you know this, buddy. The first thing Holy Spirit ever taught me is the why behind my life means everything, and I can never rise above my why. Why do I do what I do? If the why is pure, I'll see God. You don't do what you do for esteem. You don't do what you do for recognition. You don't do what you do for acknowledgement. That's all twisted motives. That's self-centered. That's all about you. That's why things crash and burn and go up and down and have highs and lows. The why behind your life is huge. What makes you tick? What's the motive of your heart and your pursuits? Why am I up here preaching? Why did I say yes to the invite? That means a lot. That determines how it'll stand before him in that day and how well you'll run and how much fruit will come. Arrival is anything that's designed or that does a mindset, anything that comes against you walking in the image of God, walking in love, living in the Spirit, manifesting Christ. It's not about your situation always changing. Who knows that? Who's learned in their life that sometimes, like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, the fire doesn't get put out? Who learned that sometimes you have to go in that thing? But because he's Lord of the fire, you keep your eyes on him. You don't let the fire change you because he already did. So you're not fearing the fire. You're fearing the Lord, and the Lord comes into the fire. So it's not about the fire going out. It's about you walking through the fire, maintaining truth in the midst of your trial is all I'm talking about. Not letting what's going on decide you, but letting what happened in you already settle that thing. Come on, how many times, guys, are we well-meaning, good-hearted, sincere, and we let what we're going through define how we're doing? We get tricked into that thing. And then we're on this pursuit for our circumstances to change. And for weeks, we're praying for something to shift. And until it shifts, we're not really okay and never feel free. You with me? That thing doesn't have to change. Like, no matter what you're going through, the goal is to be like he would be if he was in your shoes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory very simply means any manifested, made seen attribute of God is the glory of God revealed. Anything of who God is revealed is the glory of God revealed. Yeah? So Christ in you is the hope of the glory of God. You know what that means? Christ in him is the hope of God being seen and known. So if he's letting what he's going through decide him, then the glory gets quenched in a wrong perspective and view. And now he takes life personal instead of truth, and he can't walk free. You with me? And he becomes a product of what he's going through instead of a product of what he went through. Happens to good-hearted, sincere people. I'm not talking about hypocrites. Good-hearted, sincere Christians, it happens all the time. Getting destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Letting things matter more than what matters most. Are you with me? Come on. Anything that tries to keep the light from shining is a rival. Champions overcome every rival. That's every mindset, every attitude, every temptation, every impression, every emotion that doesn't manifest Christ, that doesn't walk in his nature, his image, his motive, his heart. Are y'all with me? Come on. It's a big deal. It's so possible. It's not even complex and hypo-spiritual. It's following him. It's just saying yes to God and surrendering. And we're going to show some scripture and we're going to lead into something tonight that I think is going to benefit us all. I believe we're heading somewhere, so we'll see how that pans out. But I'm pretty sure this thing's twofold tonight. But I'm just kind of setting the table for the new folks that just rolled in, so we're all on the same page. All weekend, we've been talking about what it really means to be a champion. What was the definition, Barnabas, you gave us, to overwhelmingly overcome? To overwhelmingly overcome because of God's love. That was the definition he brought of a champion. Now, isn't that sweet? That is good. Yeah? To overwhelmingly overcome because of God's love. I like that he threw that right in there, bam, and sealed it with that. Because it's God's love that motivates us. So watch. I don't love you because I'm supposed to. I love you because I've seen his first love. And now I see how he sees me, so I know how he sees you. I don't receive mercy just to receive mercy. I receive mercy to be so touched by the beauty of his mercy that I become a merciful man. My goal is not to be forgiven. It's to become the same expression of forgiveness that liberated me. Come on, man. If we don't have this, we have religion and doctrine and church attendance. And no life change and no fruit. That's not mean. That's just straight. Come on, man. I'm smiling. I feel happy. I'm not mad at nobody. Come on. If we don't have it, we've been sold cheap by religion. And we got a form of something without the expression of it. We have a language of something without the manifestation of it. So what we're going to talk about tonight is how that manifestation manifests. Yeah? How are we going to get there and stay there and grow there and be there? You know, 1 John 4 says this. It says that love is perfected in this. It was through love. Love is perfected in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, I read my Bible. The day of judgment is a day of darkness and gloom, and there's people freaking out. I read my Bible. They're crying out to die. They'd rather die than face the glory of who he is, because they're going, oops, I ain't ready. Oops, he's real. Oops, this is a day of dread and doom. Oops, darkness and gloom. The coming of the Lord. It says, Roy, love is perfected in this, that in that day, Roy, you have boldness when he comes. How's he going to have boldness? Because as he is, so have we been in the world. Not in a church service. Not at a men's conference. In the world. And we didn't let what was going on around us decide us, but the one inside of us has already brought influence. And I got boldness when he comes. Because when he looks at me, he sees him in me. And he sees we've become one. Does that make me perfect? It makes me his. And I'm telling you, you take this every way you want, but be careful with it. I want to be perfect. So I'm going to let grace make me as close as possible. So you ain't going to sell me cheap and tell me why God be this and God be that. Someday I'm this and everybody has their moments. And you know, sometimes I'm too late for that. Just between you and me and I guess live Facebook and a tape. So somebody going to see it. Just between us and whoever. I won't be perfect as I can be in grace. And I ain't selling cheap because I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price, and I'm not my own. So I ain't deciding this thing anyway. I'm just yielding to him. I'm going to let grace take me as far as possible. And I'm done following each other. I'm following him and loving each other. I ain't going to say, well, yeah, but everybody, yeah, but you know, well, I had a pastor once and he, yeah, but I had a good friend, brother, and he was the holiest man I met, and he just, stop, I'm not following those people. I'm following him. And ain't nobody selling me cheap no more. Well, I don't think they ever did anyway. I've been pretty like this from the beginning.
Yay.
So this is where we've been the last two sessions, intense. And defeating every overcoming, every rival, overwhelmingly overcoming because of his love. Bam. Yeah, that came from the son of encouragement right there. Barnabas. Yeah. I like it. Good. So as soon as he introduced him and said his name, you knew it was going to be good. You just get your pen out. You just smile. Go to Ephesians with me. We're going to get this thing on. We're going. We're going. No, we're going. All the way. All the way to glory. No, we're going. We're going. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to teach you something here, and I want to show you. So I don't usually teach out of a long text of scripture, but I feel like I'm supposed to. I'm going to camp here a little. I'm going to walk you through it, and then I'm going to, I believe, what I saw this morning, this thing's going to be twofold. And there's a place to commune with God. Remember how the first night I said, without relationship with God, without pursuing to get to know him and let them heart knowings grow, your life will never really transform. You'll get stuck in works and always feel like you're not where you could be or should be. Happens to people all the time. Good, sincere people. And the reason I'm saying they're sincere is because it bothers them. When they feel like their life's not where it should be, it bothers them. But it's a dilemma because you can't change yourself to become what he paid for and created you for, because it's a life in the spirit and it's all by grace. So Christianity is supernatural. Like, the Christian life is impossible without him. He gets all the glory. You are what you are by the grace of God. But we can believe. We can believe we're righteous, and righteousness can produce its fruit to holiness. Or you can believe you're condemned and not maybe forgiven, and you can repeat and cycle and convince yourself by your actions. And next thing you know, your lie becomes true to your own heart. I think the first option is Jesus. The second option is very common. People fighting with what he says, wrestling with what he's done, weighing their value based on their own life and performance instead of what he created you to be, your purpose and your potential. Come on, God sent his son while we were yet sinners. It's not because he's winking at sin, it's because he knows you're more than sin. He made you for his image and wants to fill you with his glory. And he wants to take away the old and give you the new. Yeah? Come on, man. Nobody. See, I'm just done with this thing. Nobody pays a high price for nothing. I ain't boasting in men. I'm boasting in God in men. What we've been living before Jesus was life without him. Life in and of ourselves, life on our own. Now you put Christ in a man and you got the hope of glory. Apart from him, you can do absolutely nothing. But he says all things are possible to them that believe. That sounds a lot different than doing nothing. Ain't that something? He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So every strategy of hell is against your belief system. Because if you ever believe, you'll do what he did. So hell says, okay, I'll attack their belief system. I'll get them so chopped up, so about themselves, about their doctrine, about who's who and who said what and what church they go to. And, well, we're over here. Well, our services are great. Well, I love our worship. Well, your pastor, well, I've been around it all. I ain't letting it hurt my heart, but I'm not ashamed to talk about it, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. We got to stay out of that thing. It's good to love your worship and your church and all that stuff. But man, if that thing ain't producing the fruit of Christ in your life, you got to look at yourself and say, what am I doing? And I am not going to let religion lull me to sleep when I got one trip around this block. I got one trip, man. One trip. I'm 57 years into my one trip. And I am not going to be deceived by religion. My heart is on fire. Are you with me? Come on, man. I'm not just going to be okay going through the motions. I'm going to be okay loving and forgiving and making peace and showing mercy. And not living in projection and attitudes and secrecy and inward stuff that don't produce life in God. See, you live with you. You know you. And that's what happens then. Because we don't deal with that person, we learn to either value who we've become or devalue who we believe we are. And the gospel's calling you to more the whole time. The blood's speaking better things. Trying to get you up out of that thing. He's never, ever a God of condemnation. We don't preach that to make sin acceptable. We preach that to get you free from it, because condemnation keeps you there. Watch. Righteousness produces its fruit to holiness. Romans 6. Watch this. If I just believe what the blood accomplished and wake up in that truth, the automatic response in my life is holy living without me even trying to be holy. Why? Because I see how he sees me, and I'm unveiled and confident before him, and it grips my heart. It tenderizes me. His goodness leads me to change, and all of a sudden my conduct's different because of belief. But if I'm waking up trying to be accepted, I'll always judge myself, take a test, grade it, and think I'm failing. And I'll always have a hit against me because I'm doing it in my own strength. And if I start where he finished, I'll run well. If I try to achieve it, I always feel like I'm short. Preachers, don't be afraid to preach this. We are not accommodating sin. I did not find a way to sin and get away with it. I found a way to be free. I'm not talking about compromising and say, well, God knows my heart. No, he knows your life, and so do you. Yeah, and that's a problem. Because then that boogers up the conscience. And when your conscience isn't clear, your faith is shipwrecked. When your conscience isn't clear, you don't even feel like you have access to God. When your conscience isn't clear, there is no way you're having intimacy with God. You're not even getting close. You're just hanging around. The best you can do is hang around where you believe he is. Come on, man. You treat your conscience like you would treat your human heart, man. It's the most vital organ of your spiritual life, your conscience. You keep that thing crystal clear, squeaky clean clear. Don't let it get seared. Don't let it get dull. Don't let it get cluttered. And don't let it get condemned and violated. It says there's men that shipwrecked their faith for the lack of a clear conscience. Paul said, I always purpose to keep a clear conscience before. Man, if my heart doesn't condemn me, I have confidence before God. And even if my heart condemns me, I got good news. He's greater than your heart. But unfortunately, people back off of the greater and follow the condemnation. Don't you do that, man. He paid a price to get you out of that thing. And I promise you, the whole trap and the whole trick and the whole truth is just, it's like a thin line. It's to get you to see your true value in him, and the lie is to just keep you short of seeing it. Because if you see your value, you'll live up to it, and you'll begin to live like you know your worth. If you don't see your value, you'll live up to the low level in which you see yourself. And that's called addictive lifestyles and secrets. Y'all all right? Come on. You know a tree by their fruit. That's not condemnation. Jesus said, good tree can't bear bad fruit, and people freak out. Oh! Because they all become tree inspectors, fruit inspectors. Good tree. Watch. Pretty rigid statement. Watch this, Mark. Good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we go, I know a fruit on one of these branches, and I must not be a good tree. That's how we hear him. Or we're looking at somebody else's fruit. I knew that brother wasn't sincere. Look at that fruit. See, you hear what Jesus said? Good tree can't bear bad fruit. He got a lot of bad fruit, rotten fruit, nasty fruit. Half the basket is bad fruit. He ain't got no nothing good tree about him. In fact, he's a wolf. He's a deceiver. People go crazy with that stuff. And he ain't even saying that, because he turns right around and says, a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, now I'm confused, because not everything in my life is a throwaway. There's some keeper stuff, and God's doing a work in me. And I know some ways I've been changed, and I'm not the way I used to be in this area and that area. And I care about some things I didn't even give a flip about before. So wait a minute. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, but a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And I see a thing I need to change, but I see some good things growing in me. So what am I, some in-between tree? See? Well, you know what's happening? The whole time we're listening to him talk, all we're hearing is fruit. All we're hearing is fruit. But all he's talking about is tree. He's talking about knowing who you are, knowing your roots, knowing where you're coming from, having a healthy identity. What he's saying is, if you know who you are, your fruit will show it. If you don't know who you are, your fruit won't. Watch. If you don't know who you are, you can't bear the fruit of what you're created for. If you know who you are, you can't bear the fruit you weren't created for. So identity releases doing. Does an apple tree produce an apple to prove to itself and us it's an apple tree? This thing is simple. This is almost so simple it's offensive. We're so complex. Who's ever seen an apple tree? You drive by it in the summer and it's out there going, looking at its branches and peeking down the line to see if anybody's better, outdoing it. All of a sudden, poof, oh, yes. It's almost offensive. There ain't no apple tree on the planet that ever bore an apple to prove what it was. It bore an apple because it was an apple tree. It was an apple tree in the seed. So Dan, why do you do righteous works? Because I'm a righteous tree, the planting of the Lord. I'm righteous. But why do you do good things? I'm righteous. Why are you excited? Why do you stay zealous? Why do you stay fired up? Because he loves me and sees me pure and holy and blameless in his sight. And I ain't trying to prove nothing. I'm enjoying becoming something. His grace is sufficient in me. Woo! You get it? Trees of righteousness. Now see? You just got identified. So you tell me you're believers. I'm not being mean right now. I'm not power playing. You watch. You tell me you're believers. Who's a believer? Who's a believer? Okay. Okay. So the word just said trees of the planting of the. So whose idea is it that you're his tree and you're righteous? And who made it a point to make that for sure by putting his son on the cross and raising him from the dead and letting his blood speak better things? So who's responsible for your identity? You or him? So what are you going to believe? What you feel, think, and remember, or what he said and did? Woo! You can't get out of that if you're a believer. Trees of, you got to start there if you're going to run well. If you fight with that, you'll fight with life. You'll fight with your own mind, and you'll fight with people and preachers, and you'll get wordy and doctrinal and messy. If you just wake up in the morning, Father, thank you for loving me. Clear cut, settled. Jesus died, rose from the dead, settled. So does he love me? Guaranteed. Am I making an exception based on performance? Am I copping out? No, you know if you're doing that. What I'm saying is sincerely waking up and starting in his love. Seeing yourself the way he sees you. So you can run well. Because a good tree? He says, therefore, a bad tree can't bear good fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. Therefore, make a tree. What's he saying? Tell people who they are, and their fruit will follow. But if you don't tell people who they are, if you tell them, well, you know, you're just barely saved. We're always going to miss it. You ought to be glad he considers you. You know, we all sinners and we're always going to sin. And probably by noon, you'll plead the blood four times. Who grew up with that? Who grew up hearing that stuff? Right? Man. But if you make a tree good, its fruit will be. But you make a tree bad, and its fruit will be. What he's saying is, people will be what you identify them to be and what they believe they are through that identification. Are you with me? Well, there's a couple things to that. Okay, I'm being gracious. I'm going to answer. It's not a bad question. It's a good question. I was just weighing if it has to do with where we're at. Don't nobody get condemned by this. It's never about condemnation, right? There's a couple healthy interpretations of the fig tree. But let me share one. The fig tree, if you look at the writing, look at the fig tree, it's supposed to bear fruit in its season. Some people say, well, the tree was out of season. Well, read Psalms 1, and somebody that abides and remains in the Lord is planted by the riverside and living water, right? And he's going to bear fruit in a season, 12 months of the year. He's always going to have something cooking. Israel were the chosen. They were the first fruit. They were the holy lump. They were a nation chosen by God so that the nations of the world would know him through them. Now, God just sent this thing because they rejected that calling. God brought his son and opened this thing up to them. And if they believe, they're grafted back in. And to the Gentiles, which is most probably all of us, maybe. They're called to bear fruit unto God. Jesus comes and finds no fruit on them. And they get cut off, and this thing gets opened up to the Gentile nations, and now they can jump right in. So they're living cut off as if cursed because they had no fruit. Jesus comes to the fig tree. Jesus comes looking on a fig tree, and you're a fig tree, and he's wanting fruit. You better have some fruit. You can't say, Lord, but it ain't my season. It's symbolic to the Jewish nation that they actually got cut off and the Gentiles got invited in. But Romans says, if the Jewish people repent and receive Christ, the veil will be lifted. They'll be grafted back in. It tells us not to get haughty, because if we don't continue running well and don't look down on them and say, oh, well, you blew it, boys. We got the seat now. He's saying, don't get crazy with that thing. Because just as quickly as they found themselves in that place, you can miss why he's in you. You get trapped going to church and not being her. That's a dilemma in the world. Men letting going to church take the place of knowing him and becoming like him. All of a sudden you go to church and fail to be her. That's a problem. You all good? That's not too heavy. Come on, man. I'm gentle with it. Scripture. We're reading this thing. It's getting late and we didn't even get there. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, David. You gonna have, I wonder if we're gonna have instrumental ready when I need it. We gonna have some instrumental? You gonna be up, you be able to, oh no, you're gonna participate. Then we're gonna just play something. She said she got some CDs or something that's just straight up instrumental. Or you mean you would just go up there and do it, you mean? Okay, because I love you. Well, you would work great. I just kind of wanted you to be involved too. But if you're willing to, and we'll see how that goes, because I would like that. Okay, Ephesians 3. Paul's talking in verse 8. And I want you to see something here. I want you to see intent and purpose. How many times have you heard me when I come down here? I say, I'm like a broken record, man. I don't even know why you invite me down here. I say the same things every time. Every time. And I always talk about why we're Christians and why he came and why he shed his blood. And if we miss becoming love, we miss the whole point of the cross. You say, well, I prophesied and I saw a healing. But are you walking in love? See, if you ride your gift and let your identity ride through your gift, you're going to miss the nature of God and confuse people, and you won't have the fruit that you think. Is the goal being healed in your body, or is the goal walking in the image and nature of Christ? Does faith work through love? Wouldn't the best thing be is to get formed in Christ as you're moving in the doctrines of healing and prophetic and gifting and word of knowledge, and let Christ be formed in you so it all flows from the one pure river of Him? So it never gets misrepresented. Who's read and seen and got perplexed? How many Christians have fallen by the wayside because they don't have relationship with God, and they're gleaning from individuals and finding their identity through people, and then the people that are watching stumble and fall? Or the pastor you admired is sleeping with the worship leader's wife, and now it's craziness and you never want to go to church again. That means you never developed a relationship with God. You're following men and doctrine. Come on, man. If I knew folks down here and got a phone call from one of you and heard something crazy about one of the leaders like that, a crazy story like that, come on. I'm going to backslide? Are you kidding me? I'm going to say, what? I can't believe that. Well, all the time I thought, well, I don't know. Well, that's Christianity. I don't want nothing to do with it. Stop. That, you're just giving yourself away. You've never developed relationship. You've been just on the bus going for the ride. Do you know why some things get weird when God's moving? Because people attach themselves to it to find identity through it instead of through Him. They want to be a part of the movement instead of a part of Him. Come on, man. If you hear something crazy like that, your heart ought to break for the people because something went wrong. Can I challenge some stuff in us guys right now? Man, if I go home and get some news from one of my friends, or get some valid information that my wife's been doing something that you would hope your spouse would never do, you got me, right? Why am I a broken man and violated covenant and trust broken and can't trust nobody now and can't believe she did that to me? And all these years I thought, why am I all messed up when she's in trouble? How am I any less a man of God? How am I any less anointed? How am I any less called to people and the nations and to live in Christ? And I'm going to let what one woman did because she's called my wife decide my life? Not today. I'm going to weep for her. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to be unfazed spiritually. Are you following me? I'm not going to let where a woman isn't decide where I am if Christ is in me. I'm going to hurt for her, not hurt for me. I love not my own life unto death, remember? I denied myself. How did I get so alive so quick through information? Well, I'm just so broken. Well, I can't believe it. Well, I understand the feelings that are real that try to come, but you better override them things with strong truth and get a grip. You see how passionate I am on these topics? Because I already know what I'm talking about. Well, you think I'm just passing on theory, doctrine? That's why I'm so passionate and can't contain it. Because there ain't nothing I'm preaching that I ain't living and haven't lived. And I know it's possible through Him. And I'm calling you all into it because that's what He does. Come on, man. I've been a pastor. I got friends. I've seen friends make mistakes. I've seen mistakes made against friends. And I've watched countless people that sing with both hands high fall apart when trouble hits. And reveal that they were never truly established in a truth of why He's in them and why they're alive. And they're living for the moment to work well instead of Christ to shine through them. And their prayer life is all about their circumstances being aligned instead of more of Him. Shoo, we all right? Okay. And here's why. Because I'm going to read the scripture. I don't know how we're going to do this. This is a lot of scripture I got to read. Let's start in verse 8 so that I can get it done. Because David will laugh at me for the rest of our lives. and say, I knew it. I'm almost tempted to re-dismiss God just so you know. I'm just kidding. This is the Lord. This morning in worship, I'm so confident this is the Lord. This morning in worship, this scripture just kept coming. And I read it, and I saw us doing a twofold thing. So hang in there with me. To me, this is Paul, who am less than the least of all the saints. This grace, see, Paul says some things you could think are just, yeah, he's supposed to say them. They're rhetorical. It's falsely humble kind of stuff. No. Paul knows where he came from. Paul knows his heart when he got knocked off that horse. Paul knows who he was when he was Saul. Paul knows the mercy he found and received from God. Paul knows he ain't earned nothing. He was the least of everybody he was ministering to because they wasn't going around killing each other. He was out to kill them. And God picked him. In our world, kill him. Don't pick him. Kill him. Hey, he's killing us. Kill him. God, strike him. You're finding all the Psalms of David. Cut off his arms. Rip out his heart. Take off his head. Crush my enemy, God. Well, the trouble is, in the new covenant, your enemy's not flesh and blood. Your war is never flesh and blood. Your enemy's anything that's coming against the light that's supposed to shine in you. And it's not people, it's attitudes, mentalities. That's why you weep for your wife if she's in trouble, not get hurt by her. Because if you're walking in Jesus, look, you don't have a problem. She's in trouble. And mature Christianity sees that. If love doesn't seek its own and takes no account of the wrong done to it, why are we so broken by people? Because we haven't been perfected in love. If love doesn't seek its own, why are we rubbed wrong? Because we still have preferences and we still have first impressions. We still have expectations. We still have wants. And it's a form of pride. You expect somebody to live up to your preference. God's not even biased. So all of a sudden you lean towards people you like more. You avoid people that rub you wrong. It's just a sign of immaturity. It's a sign that you're not looking through Jesus' eyes. You're looking through the eyes you were trained by. It's good straight up stuff. Man. I'm so glad I don't just preach three-point sermons. I feel like I'd get boring on you. The least of all the saints. This grace was given. So Paul understands it's a grace. That I should preach among the Gentiles. Watch. The unsearchable. That's amazing. We're just barely scratching this thing, David. It's the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the parts that we're scratching open are really good. And this thing is unsearchable. Look, and to make all what? See. Now that's the goal. The love of God wants all to see. Because once you see, then you have to decide how you respond to what you see. That calls you into accountability. The devil loves to deceive. God's love is greater than that deception. He says, I'm going to make all see, to call all men into account, to give them every opportunity to come to me and yield to me. That's why there's judgment. Paul says no man's going to have an excuse. You'd be amazed. Even people that say they're this and that and don't believe in God and they mean it. They had convictions. They had a dream. They had impressions. They had opportunities to believe. And there was times where their eyes actually saw things they suppressed. You'll find that was true. Because the love of God would make that possible. Yeah? That's why there's a judgment. Because here, watch this. The man at the pool of Siloam, remember? Remember the blind man and Jesus slapped the mud on his eyes and said, go wash your eyes. And it's like, what? So then healing ministry start pushing around wheelbarrows with clay. And no, I'm just kidding. So he goes and washes his eyes. What happened when he washed his eyes? Boop. I love the story and then the way they treated him and who was this man? Do you believe he's a prophet? Well, this man's a sinner. I don't know if he's a sinner. I just know I was blind. Now I see. It's powerful, right? It was sad on one end and powerful on another end. He goes out in the streets. He's walking the streets. He bumps into Jesus. Do you guys know this is in your Bible? He bumps into Jesus. And Jesus says to him, he says, sir, tell me, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, tell me who he is so I might believe. He said, it is he who is speaking with you now. He says, I believe. Right? So he says, watch what he says. He said, for this reason, I was brought into the world to cause those who are blind to see and to cause those who see become blind. And the Pharisees say, ooh, they even had a little beard probably. They said, surely we're not blind. That's what they said. Meaning, are you referring to us? Surely we're not blind. Watch what he said. Amazing. Do you know what he said? He said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But because you say you see, your guilt remains. Bam! Did you ever see that in your Bible? It's fascinating. So the love of God won't let a man stay blind. He causes people to see. Now, I've never shared this in my entire life with a recording or in a public setting. In my entire Christian life, I've never shared this because I don't like to get controversial with things that don't have to do with everyday purpose. But for some reason, some crazy reason, Lord, I already know I'm saying it. It's going to be trouble for me. Emails, theologians. I don't even know why I'm saying this. But I already know I'm supposed to because it's here. I can't back out because I have this thing with God. I know missions are for real. People need to be missionaries, reach people. Why do we reach people? So everybody can go to heaven? See, we've missed the point along the way. We're not reaching people so everybody can go to heaven. We're reaching them to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they can all walk out the nature of God and live in their created purpose. We're not trying to get everybody on the earth to repeat a prayer we came up with. So the average Christian believes that people that die and nations that have died without hearing the gospel are all in hell. That's what Christians believe. But the Bible says, how can a man go unless he's sent? Right? But it starts like this. How can a man believe if he hasn't heard? How can a man hear if nobody's preaching? And how can a man preach if he hasn't been sent? So let me ask you this. Is a man judged for not hearing, or is he judged for not believing? Why would God judge a man that hasn't heard when he might have done 10 times more with the gospel that you heard, if he'd have heard? See, he's a just and righteous God. Here's what God knows. It's why the old saints are going to be in everlasting life. They didn't have the blood of Jesus, but having heard, they'd receive. Is God just? Does he know everything? So if you lived in a nation that never heard the gospel, and you would have heard the gospel, does God know what you'd have done with it? Is he going to judge you for not hearing because nobody came with the message? Are you judged because a man didn't preach? Or are you judged because you didn't believe when you heard? People say, you can't preach that, man. That's like heresy, man. Because then why bother? Everybody's just going to all work out in the end. No, no, no. You're missing the whole point. You got to turn people from the power of Satan to the power of God. You got to get people to walk in the nature and image of God. See, we've made this thing all self-serving and about just going to heaven someday. Well, hey, if they're all going to, God knows who would believe and who not believe it, then that's why even bother preach? Are you kidding me? To get them free and get them out of darkness and get them filled with God's Spirit. Do you see? We've been so contaminated with a self-serving gospel. You don't have to agree with me. But the Jesus I know isn't sending people to hell if they haven't heard. He's sending them if they haven't believed, and his goal is to make all see. Are you with me? There's people out there that lived and died and never heard the truth that I've heard. And if they'd have heard it, they might have won a whole nation. If they'd have heard it, they might have just thrived in righteousness. And their whole village would have known the Lord. He's a just and a righteous God. We preach a very legalistic gospel that gets contaminated with heaven and life after instead of purpose now. The goal of Jesus isn't just taking you to heaven, it's getting you back into communion with the Father and everlasting life. Is knowing him, because he's eternal. But to this day, we present the gospel this way. If you don't know where you're going when you die, pray this prayer with me. Dead giveaway. Our whole goal is to get them to heaven instead of get heaven into them. It's very true. Not meaning to, it is very true. Because we have been seduced into a self-serving gospel. What's in it for me? Instead of his great name. That's why Jesus never said he's the way to heaven. He said he's the way back to the Father. And he said, this is eternal life, that you might know him. Not proclaim him, not preach him, not learn about him. Why? Because you become one with the eternal one. And in him, you'll never die. So which tells me something very simple. Adam was never created to die. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. So when Adam sinned, death entered the earth. So Adam was never made to die. So what is Jesus? The Redeemer. He brings us back to original value. He restores what was lost. So now man's dying because of sin. So Jesus says, oh, I'll deal with it. I'll become sin, take away sin. They'll live forever in my Father. I'll get them back to the Father. We've turned it into a prayer to go to heaven. Jesus is trying to make a family. So all of a sudden, you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. You saved? Yeah. Oh, man, I prayed the prayer, dude. Yeah, I prayed. I got baptized 6 years ago. Yeah. And yet, come on, man. Let me read some scripture. Let me get back to scripture. See, there's so much in the gospel. All I read is to make all see, and I'm done. I've preached for like 40 minutes. Make all see. Wow. It's not good. This is not good. Help me, David. Don't laugh at me. Help me. God wants to make all see. What is the fellowship, the communion of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages, from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. Who was Jesus? Lamb slain before. This thing was hidden. Yeah? Now watch this. Has been hidden in God, who created all things through who? Jesus Christ. So he was there from the beginning, in the beginning, whatever that means. Now here's where you find purpose in God. Verse 10, phenomenal. I have right in my Bible up top written, purpose of the gospel. To the intent, that means God's intention. He's going to make all see this mystery. He's going to reveal it. It's been hidden before the ages, but now he's going to reveal it to this intent. That now the manifold wisdom of God, that means the many-faceted, many-sided wisdom of God, might be made known, look at this, by the church. That's people, not a building. The manifold wisdom of God is going to be made known and realized and revealed through people to the powers and principalities that they used to be owned by and serve and believe. But now you're called out of darkness, transformed, you're into the light, the kingdom of the Son of God and His love, right? The old is past, the new has come. This thing has always been about transformation, not blessing. This thing's always been snatched out of darkness into the light. It's always been about put off the old, put on the new. Come on, man. That the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the powers and principalities in heavenly places. Watch this. According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished. So God set this in motion. He accomplished it by putting his son on the cross. Look, here's the deal. Let me nutshell what he's saying. He made man with a purpose. He had the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's revealing his great love. Man has everything he could ever want and need. He has God as his source and father. He does the thing that he's told not to do. He believes the lie instead of the truth. Everything he was made to be dies, but God doesn't change because he's love. God sends his son to become what we were so we could be restored back to what he intended. This is the gospel. Oh my goodness, it's powerful. That's why he never changes his mind about any of you. Because he knows your potential, your purpose, and why you're here. Yeah? Watch this. According to the eternal purpose. That means the purpose is forever. This purpose is never going to change. God's not in and out. He's not flighty. He's not one day for you and the next day against you. He doesn't say, I love you, and then say, I'm thinking about it. This thing ain't changing. He's a rock. Come on. There's stuff, guys, there's stuff we can lock in on and say, you know what? I believe that because it says that, and I ain't changing my mind. That's why I'm aggressive. I'm passionate about this stuff. I'm not going to sell cheap. I'm not for sale. Yeah, I'm already bought. I got a no vacancy sign flashing on my head. Fully and completely occupied. Every space filled. No empty rooms. Woohoo! You see? Oh, you ought to be there with me. Which he accomplished in Christ our Lord. In whom? It's all because of him. We got boldness. That's why it ain't cocky and arrogant. We got boldness. Confidence and arrogance, two different things. My confidence is coming from him. I got boldness now. I see this. He's for me, not against me. I got a big brother. His name is Jesus. See, when I grew up in the city, York City. You had a big brother, whether you had one or not, because that's how you got by sometime. Because some dude's ready to whoop you bad at the park, right? And you're like, dude, you don't want to even throw down with me, man. You might take me, man. Might take you. I'll bust you up. You might, man, but you don't want a piece of my brother. You ain't got no brother, man. I ain't never seen your brother. That's because he's 2 years older than me and he don't hang around here with us. But if you touch me, I'm telling you, he's coming for you, man. Dude, I don't think you got a brother. Well, I do, man. So I just, you're living in the city. You coming up with a big brother. But see, now I got a big brother. Whoo, and he's big. And he's bad, man. Woo! His eyes look like fire. His feet are glowing like burnished brass. He speaks, it's like many waters. Woo! Woo! And he's for me, not against me. Yeah. And we're going, ew, I heard a noise. Oh, I'm freaked out. Well, I'm scared. Not today, friend. Today ain't the right day. Tomorrow won't be either. I got a big brother. I got Jesus. He's in me. Watch this. He accomplished in Christ our Lord. Now we have boldness. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We have access. That's what we better take privilege of right there. Don't miss that. That's what changes your life. Access. Hebrews 4, you see, you have a high priest, Jesus, Son of God. He's passed through the heavens. Come boldly in. Not arrogantly, boldly. Why? Because you know he loves you, or he wouldn't have sent his son. You know the door's open, or he wouldn't have paid the price. You know he loves you, or he wouldn't have come while you were yet a sinner. You say, yeah, but I just messed up bad, man. I'm feeling like God's mad at me. If God wasn't mad at you while you were yet a sinner, he's not mad at you now. He wants to grow you in truth. Stop believing a lie. When does it say the blood's not speaking better things? Doesn't. Then why do we believe outside of the gospel? Why do we believe our feelings? Who's ever gotten a little place, a little small place of condemnation in your mind turned into a whirlwind? See, you can't tell me this ain't a strategy. This thing is set against you. It's a rival. It's trying to keep you from being the champion he paid for. You better cast that thing down. The weapon of your warfare standing in truth. Come on, this thing's militant. We learn today a champion is a warrior. Come on, I'm just talking about fighting a good fight of faith. We always in defense. What about offense? Who said the scripture about storming the gates, about the gates of hell won't prevail against it? Who preached that? The gates of hell won't prevail against the kingdom of God. And we say, well, the devil's been after me. It doesn't mean he's chasing you with a gate. It means we're supposed to be crushing his kingdom, and no matter how much he tries to keep you out and shut the gate, it won't prevail against the truth, the light, the glory, the kingdom of God. And you got every reason by world standard to be in unforgiveness, and all you can do is love and show mercy and make peace and give. The gates are blown up. You're on the offense. You got the ball. You score. You ain't just defense. You ain't even got nothing. You read up the armor and you look how them boys were shooting. You ain't got nothing on your back. Why? He's got your rear guard and there's no retreat. When you run, you're vulnerable. You go straight at it. That's where you're girded and protected. That's why you got a sword. The word of God. Whew, come on, man. That's a whole nother conference. Man, I'm feeling that one. Next week, be it. No, man. No, I have some folks out of Pittsburgh that are waiting on me. But we have boldness and we have access with confidence through him, through faith in him. So remember how I talked about the first night, how you got to live by faith, and faith is an attitude sometimes. Faith is just perspective, right? So watch, Paul says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. What he's saying is, I get everything I'm writing about. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't get weary-hearted. Don't back off. Don't get afraid. Don't hurt for me. I get everything I'm writing about. Don't lose heart because of what I'm going through, because this is who we are, and it's eternal purpose, and we're all going to stand through. Yeah? Now watch what he says. Now this is what's phenomenal. I want to show you this. So who sees that this is God's plan from the beginning of the ages? He gave grace to Paul to make all see that the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed through our lives transformed. Yeah? And he accomplished it through his eternal purpose. Who sees that we said all that through scripture right here? Okay. So look at verse 14 now, because he just talks about I'm not losing heart. Now watch. You got to catch this stuff. Read. Take your time. Be slow with it. Pray it out. Look at it. Read it. Get to know the word, right? You don't just want to read it and say, oh, I read a chapter. No, you want to see what it's saying. Watch. For this reason. What reason? The eternal purpose of God. The thing he had hidden before the ages. The thing I just wrote about. Paul said, because of this purpose, I'm going to bow my knees to God. And I'm going to keep praying. Watch. Till you get strengthened in your inner man and get a revelation of his love. Because the revelation of his love is what's going to carry you through this thing. That's why what Brother Barnabas said was so powerful. Overwhelmingly overcome because of God's love. Paul said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the... Does this sound like we're just waiting to go to heaven and our names are in a book and we're going to trumpet going to blow? Does this just wait like, well, I wonder what end times are going to be like. I wonder if we're going to be ready. I wonder if we're going to have to live in a cave. I wonder if I should get some dry beans. People are into all this stuff, right? They fight over it. They argue over it. They emphasize it. But here's what happens when you get caught up doing that stuff. And I'm not criticizing. Just pay attention and watch this. You get so caught up in certain doctrines that it deceives you and distracts you from everyday purpose. And now 2 years went by and you're studying to defend a doctrine to be right. And the whole time you failed to become like him and walk in love and fulfill everyday purpose. So you got post-trib, you got mid-trib, you got pre-trib. You got three camps right there. What do you think on the last day? You think we're all going to be there heading up the clouds with Jesus and one of the camps is going to be shouting to the clouds, I told you so. It ain't going to be like that. You spent your whole life in ministry beating a drum over a doctrine and failing to walk out love. Don't let that happen to nobody in here. People get dogmatic and fight over discrepancies. And look, if it doesn't hinder everyday purpose, then don't make it such a big deal. I call them misdemeanors and felonies. There's things that are felonies. Trying to tell me Jesus isn't Lord, felony. Felony. But you're like, well, you know, you shouldn't be working on Sunday. Misdemeanor. Romans 14 settles that. Some people have a revelation, every day is the same. Some people have a revelation, one day is different than the rest. The Lord's able to make them both stand as long as what they're doing to him and not to be right. Gospel's simple. But people get caught up on those little discrepancies and make a whole doctrine and ministry out of those discrepancies. They look down on people. I'm at my park, my home park, playing with my kids. I'm completely born again, changed. I got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old that can testify. And we're playing at the park, Daddy. Wouldn't have been down there having fun with them kids before Jesus. Well, actually, by that time, they were probably 12 and 7. Man comes over, he whips right in and parks. I see him park, he's coming right at us. I said, hey, buddy. He said, hey. Pulls out a track and he hands it to me. I said, man, that's incredible. You from around here? No, I was just driving past. I saw you with your kids. I thought this is something you ought to know. And I said, bless your heart. You pulled in to hand me that track. He said, yes, it matters. You're important to God. I said, dude, that's amazing. Thank you for what you're doing. Man, I had an encounter 2 years ago at work. It changed my life forever. I said, man, God saved me. I got a family now, my kids. They know the change in me. And I just appreciate that you believe enough to stop, try to get this message to me. Thanks, man. That meant a lot to me. But he saved me 2 years ago. I'm glad to tell you.
Were you baptized? He didn't even celebrate with me. Were you baptized? Well, actually, I don't even tell people this, man. I baptized myself. He said, what? I said, it just felt right, man. I just went under. I talked to God. And when I came up, man, it was the most intimate experience I've ever had. He said, well, did you baptize yourself in the name of Jesus or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I said, I don't even remember if I did either. I said, I just know that I was crying. And I said, my life is yours. And this old man is dead. And I'll be brand new forever. And thanks for giving me new. And I'm drowned in this old man. And I'm coming up. And I thank you for the new. Holy Spirit thought it was precious. Like when I come out of the water, he just held me like a midwife. He's like, look, Papa, another brand new baby boy. Ain't he awesome? And pat me, powder me all up. Woo! You know what the guy did when I told him that? He said, well, sir, you're not even saved. I said, what? He said, well, you're not saved. If you don't get baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not even saved. That's the New Testament. You can't even do Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I said, what? He said, it's scripture. I said, no, man, you're twisted up on that thing. I said, here's the problem. I told you you're doing a good thing. I was proud of you and happy for you. But what you're doing is absolutely terrible, and I wish you'd stop now. Because you're walking on a court talking to a man whose life has viably changed, whose own children could bear witness. My wife could come down and would cry before the Lord and tell you how transformed I am because of him. And you're going to tell me over a doctrinal discrepancy that I'm not even saved. Shame on you, sir. Take your track and leave. That ain't right. And I wasn't mad at him, but I scolded him. I said, you ain't doing a good thing. I was coming through an airport. It wasn't even a year ago. It was 6-7 months ago. Coming through an airport. I'm hurrying. I ain't going to make my gate. This pastor said, oh, this airport. I said, listen, sir. 20 pastors have done this to me over the years, and I miss my flight or I get canceled out. I said, just take me now. I'd rather be early than push it. No, you don't understand, man. We're good. You just breeze right through. We get down the road, fender bender. Not him, just ahead of us. We just sit. Man, this never happens. Yeah, it does when you have a flight. I said, you never cut it close when you travel, sir. I travel all the time. I was trying to tell you to get me there. She just got me there, man. I'm so sorry. I said, it's all right. We watched the clock just keep on ticking. It wasn't like Joshua, man. It didn't just turn back. Oh. So I get to the airport. I should be at my gate when I walked into security. Then I got to run to get in to the airport, right? But as I'm going to security, or no, I got through security. I was running to my gate because I thought, man, they're already boarding. I saw everybody going out this way. And I thought, well, why ain't nobody cutting through here? It's so much quicker. So I took my little bag and shot through, and I ended up on this red carpet. Well, here was these people with this big sign, Jesus Saves. And they standing there. I'm not being mean. Just follow my heart. They looked like they needed ministry. I mean, the lady was the picture of depression. I'm not being mean. And he was scowling. He looked as stoic. He was just standing there, and they had a sign, Jesus Saved. And everybody's going way out around him. And I stopped. I went, hey, guys, that's amazing. So you're out here reaching people, handing out tracts? Yep, every man needs to be saved. Here, make sure you're saved. I was like, well, yeah, I said, I am saved. I said, actually, you know where I'm coming from? I was just at a church. I had the most amazing weekend. I saw God move. I'd love to talk to you guys, but I got to get on a flight. I'm running close. Pastor took a while to get me here. I said, but bless you for what you're doing and reaching people and in and out trucks. That's amazing. The lady said, what were you preaching? I said, well, I don't know how I can nutshell 5 services because I can't nutshell 1. I was just preaching Jesus and why he came and to live in his image and live by the Spirit and walk in love. And if we miss come in love, we miss the whole point of the cross. And the man said, well, let me ask you, sir, do you believe you can lose your salvation? And I'm like, oh my goodness. These people are hung up on one thing to decide who's saved, who's not. And that's why they're so sad. They got no joy. They're mean. Like, I told them I'm a brother, and they challenged me.
You're not a brother.
She said, what were you preaching? I mean, it was like that. I'm not exaggerating. Oh, my heart wanted to cry. I'm not mad at them. I want to cry. I said, oh my goodness, I see what you're saying. What's going on now, guys? Oh my goodness. He said, just answer the question, sir. You're a preacher. You preach the gospel. Can you lose your salvation? I said, well, honestly, there's so many scriptures. I don't want to get in debate. I got to catch my gate, bud. There's so many scriptures that tell you you can walk away. I don't know why you would, but you can walk away. You can be beating your fellow servant, eating and drinking, and he comes. You'd be portioned with the unbelievers. There's all kinds of scriptures I could quote to you that tell me I ought to just keep on walking out truth. And he said, so you don't have salvation, you have probation. That was his catch line. He said, so you don't have salvation, you have probation. See, sir, you've never been saved. And I said, friend, what you're doing is tragic. I'm going to retract everything I said about bless you guys. I'm so glad you need to. Guys, I'm not being mean. I leaned in, I whispered. I said, you honestly, honey. You look so depressed, dark circles and mad and upset. You look like you're on medicines for depression, and you are so stoic. And I tell you, I'm a brother, and all you can do is throw out this doctrine you're pushing. You're beating a drum, friend. Roll up your carpet, take down your sign, and go get a grip because you're doing injustice to the gospel. He said, you need to get saved. I said, my goodness. He said, get saved. But in their mind, they're doing everyday purpose because they're trying to reach people. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Who? You free? Good, man. Good. I was going to get you up here. We were going to gang you. No, I'm just kidding. It was painful. Those two encounters, extremely painful to my heart. Wasn't mad at him, but I'm a straight shooter. I'll talk to you, and I know I can talk sharp and know that I'm not out of bounds because I know my heart. I know why I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm saying it for your sake because life's going on. One day you're going to stand before Jesus. I'm not saying it because you're wrong, and I'm not saying it because I'm trying to be right, and I have no need to correct you, I promise. See, when you know your heart motive, you have confidence in everything you do. When I pastor, when I counsel, you ought to hear me behind a closed door. If somebody's acting up, I'll close the door. I'll challenge them. If I got a married couple and a husband's acting up, I'll ask her to leave and tell him, if you're man enough, you stay because I want to talk to you. And if not, leave because I don't control you or own you. But if you're man enough, stay. And then I challenge him in his hypocrisy. Oh, you ought to hear some of the counselings I've had. I love people, man, and I'm gentle and I'm kind. But you start playing games with your own soul. And you talk, you get lulled to sleep by religion, and you're going to manifest that to me, and I'm just going to say, oh boy, they're a case. And then David come up to me and say, how's your appointment go? Oh, brother needs delivered. Nope, I got you in the room. We're going to go for delivered. The worst you can do is probably punch me. Well, you could shoot me, I guess, with a 9mm or something, but I ain't going to die, so I'm not that worried. But I'll tell you what I am concerned about, getting truth into you and giving you a chance to change, to make all see. I was in a counseling appointment, and I was talking to the guy and girl about sexual stuff. She started bawling, man. You knew what was, right? Because they've been doing it. They ain't married. They just coming for some counsel, and I get talking about some things. I talked about holiness, purity, how a woman's made, and why. I got on it, man. She's, the dude sits there and says, thanks a lot, man. You just cut me off. Now, see, I'm glad the women are in the back, because a lot of women think if a man wants them, it's because they love them or they're attractive. No, it's because most of the time they got urges and needs and they ain't living in the spirit. Sorry to take the fluff out of that thing, but he said, you cut me off. He's coming to church. He's in worship service. You know? Yeah. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am, pull yourself together. Could you leave the office, please? Close the door behind you. Please. Thank you. He's just looking at me like, man, what? I said, listen, son, you don't owe me nothing. You don't have to sit here. I don't control you. You can leave if you want, but I challenge you to stay because we need to talk. And man, I pulled out a sword. It was bigger than ever. I took out his heart. I cut it all up. We put it back together and we put it back in. And if he wants to get up and leave, that's his privilege. But I'm going to give him a chance to stay. And I called him. I called him on his life and what love is and how tragic it is what he's doing to her. I called him on it. And I wasn't smiling. Does that mean I sinned and crossed the line and was mad? Trying to save a soul and a brother from sinning. Are you with me? Now watch this. If you don't love people, you don't have that authority. Don't try to take it. If you're not saying it for their sake, then grace isn't going to go with your words. And at best, you might be right with no backing from heaven. Are you with me? If you're just mad at that young boy because of what he's doing to that girl and you're just setting him straight, you might as well save your words. You're going to do more harm than good. And you might just produce rebellion in him or something. But if you're speaking for his sake, Holy Spirit will go with me and get inside his heart, make his head spin. And that's what I've watched countless times in my life in a very fun way. I was in a prison. I'm playing, man. I was in a prison. You don't touch inmates. I'm in attorney-client room. This guy come out. His arms look like my legs sewed to his shoulders. You cut off my legs and stick them on his shoulders. That's the dude that came in the room. I ain't playing. Guys are getting touched, delivered. I'm spending an hour at a time with inmates. They're signing on a list to see me. I'm going in four times a week. Pouring into inmates. This dude walks in. Just sits in the chair. I'm over exaggerating a little, but he was a big dude. I said, hey, man, what's up? I just came to check you out. What? I just came to check you out, man. I want to see what you're all about. I said, what? I just want to know why these guys are acting the way they do when they leave you, man. I said, well, how are they acting? Weird, man. He's smiling. He's got a crazy look like you got in your eyes. That's what he said to me. So I said, man, I'm glad you called this appointment. So I got excited, so the look got crazier, right? So I started talking about Jesus. Now I'm in trouble because I can't calm down. And he says, let's just get something straight, man. He said, you need to quit getting so crazy, man. Get that crazy look out of your eyes. You're freaking me out. You're freaking me out, man. You're freaking me out. You don't do this. It's Holy Ghost. Don't ever do this, right? I just flew across the table. I can't even get my hand partly around his arm. I leaped across the table and didn't even know what I was doing. It just impulse. It was just Holy Ghost pushed me out there. It was his fault. I snatched his big old arm and I'm right in front of his face. I said, maybe it's time to get freaked out because he's the living God. He went, and he just loses it. And I'm like, yeah, it worked. Woo! And I was like, I think you need to get born again. You know, I pulled out the script. I think you need to get saved. Watch this. If I don't love that man, I ain't going to ever find that kind of grace and impulse in the Holy Ghost. If I'm just trying to set him straight, if I'm just trying to win a soul to tell you I led somebody to the Lord. He's with love, ain't he, Barnabas? And he'll empower you to overwhelmingly overcome. Yeah?
that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. What is he praying this for? So you can fulfill verse 10. Right? The reason he's praying this, for this reason, I'm praying so you can fulfill the intention of God in sending his son. See? Now that's just good, solid, right out teaching and preaching right there. See? We just put that prayer on our refrigerator because it sounds amazing. But the reason he's praying it, so you're empowered to fulfill verse 10. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We covered all that, feelings versus faith, right? That you, watch this, being rooted and grounded in love. You ain't dealing with it and fighting with it anymore and letting life prove or disprove God's love. Love is settled, man. Christ was crucified. He rose from the dead. He's at the right hand. He loves me. Rooted and grounded in love. You have to find love and the measuring stick of love through the cross, or life will keep telling you whether he does or doesn't. Now you're laid off, the car's wrecked, the wife's acting crazy, and you're like, man, God, I thought you loved me. Already settled. He already does. Once love gets questioned, faith is shook because faith worketh through love. Now you're just driven by need and you're another despairing prayer. Are you guys good? I know I'm saying a lot right now, but rooted and grounded in love, man. Guys, we go to bed tonight. We know who we are. He made the tree good. We wake up in the morning, man. He loves me. You just love me, God, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a man, and I'm not ashamed to say you love me. You love living in me. You washed me in your blood, and you filled me with your Spirit. Thank you. You yourself made me holy, blameless, and above reproach in your sight. So if that's how you see me, I probably ought to see me that way too. Man. And when you see you that way, guess who else starts seeing you that way? Because your life changes, people start seeing you that way. And then they say, what is it about you? What's going on with you? Man, I worked with you for 4 years. You've just been different for the last 3 months. And it ain't that you weren't a Christian those years, but you got a deeper revelation. You're receiving righteousness. You're waking up in truth. And all of a sudden your disposition shows it. Your countenance shows it. All of a sudden people are noticing. Now you're bearing fruit and you're not even trying. Who knows, there's been evangelistic pressure put on us to reach everybody and get people saved. And says, love is evangelistic. When you're walking in fellowship with God, your life is evangelistic. Your attitudes are evangelistic. Your disposition is reaching out. Yeah? You're not under pressure to share with somebody Jesus. You're privileged to live him. Yeah. Yeah. Watch. You're rooted in ground love that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. That means this thing is for all of us. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? Watch this. To know. That's not one plus one. That's gnosis. This is a different word. This is experiential heart knowing. This is knowing. This isn't one plus one. This isn't gnosis. This is knowing. Not knowing. That you might know the love of Christ, which passes knowing. Knowledge. Right? Two different words. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Why is he praying that? Because that's what fulfills verse 10. Do you see why he sent his son? So you can be filled with all the fullness of who he is and walk in love as he loved. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Any man says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked.
You get it?
Whew. This is good. I'm not going to be able to do that twofold thing. I don't think. I can slip it in. I'll slip it in. Watch. Now to him, see, to him who gets all the glory,
But you can't get away from this. Watch. No matter how much you try to, people do it in a false humility way a lot of times. Watch. Now to him who is exceedingly abundantly, able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So you can't get away from the union. It says every promise is yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Corinthians says that. Every promise, yes and amen. So he's the yes, we're the so be it. Why? Because we believe and lay our hands on the sick. Because we walk out these promises, right? We believe he's faithful. We don't lose heart. We keep on running well. We reap and we don't lose heart. Oh my goodness, it's all gospel. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think by the power that worketh in us. Now watch how careful he is to make sure that God gets all the glory to him. Why? It's the mystery he hid before the ages. He accomplished it. He's making us see. So to who be all the glory? To him be all the glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus. To how many generations? So this truth has always been on the earth. Forever and ever, so be it. Right there, you and I got to decide what we believe. And some people say, well, I think you're taking this a little too far, brother. And other people say other things, and people say a lot of things. But here's what it boils down to at the end of a men's conference. It's just like Jesus said to his own guys. He said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say one of the prophets, some say Elijah, some of them say, well, who do you say that I am? That's the question every one of us have to ask. Who do you say he is? What do you say this is all about? Are you compelled just to believe my passion and my preaching? Or is the word making up your heart and your mind? The bottom line is this. Every man in this room has to answer, what's he going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this truth? The greatest thing you can do when you read your Bible, and this is that twofold thing, and I'll slip it in 5 minutes. I don't even believe that, but I'll try. I'll stay right in this chapter. I could go to a lot of places. I could back up to chapter 1. I could go to 4. I could go all over. You could tell me a scripture and I could do what I'm about to do because it's the way the Holy Spirit taught me to read the Word. When I read the Word, I rarely read the Word just to read a bunch of scripture. There's times I feel like I'm just supposed to fill my heart and I might read 5, 6, 7, 8, I have 10 chapters. That's very rare. When I read my Bible, I never read it to know what it says. He spoke to my heart a long time ago and said, only read your Bible to know me and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. That's why there's so much passion in me, because I'm not preaching doctrine. This thing is real to me. He said, only read your Bible to know me. So when I read and get to a part like to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Oh my goodness, Lord. I'll be sitting on my bed. And this is what I want you to see. You can do this. Start it immediately. I was actually going to play some music and give us all a chance and pick a section of scripture and let us split up and break up and stuff and just enter in. But I'm going to call you to just do this. It's a little homework assignment, man. It'll be awesome. Start in Ephesians 1. Just go to Ephesians 1. There's a lot of good scriptures. Yeah, that would be a good one. Go to Ephesians 1 sometime in the near future and get alone. If you want to turn on some soft music, some piano, you want to take Jeremy with you, whatever. But what I'm saying is, you all put in your order. Put him on a list. Put in your order. You're going to be a busy man for the next 24 hours, friend. But what I'm saying is this. Go to Ephesians 1 and start reading what it says. I'll tell you what, I'll just give you a jump start. Let's just go there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Wow, Father, I thank you that right now as I'm reading, this is what I do when I'm on my bed, sitting, reading. It's just me and him. Watch. I'm taking you in my bedroom right now. I'll read them two lines and I'll just stop. And it feels right to my heart. I'll say, wow, Father, I just acknowledge you're writing this to me. When you're writing to me, you said to all the saints. I know people say, well, that was back in Jesus' day. That's well, the word, da, da, da. Man, when you're talking to them, you're talking to me. And I thank you. I might even look at that word saint and say, I so appreciate you didn't say to those who are about to sin in Ephesus, you called them saints. You didn't say to those who are about to sin, thank you, God, you sanctified me. And then I might lay my Bible down and lift my hands and take my time. Thank you that you set me free. Thank you, God, that when you look at me, you see me in righteousness through the blood of your Son. Man, right now in your presence, I know I'm clean. And I have confidence before you. I love you so much. Thanks for loving me. That's how I read my Bible. And then I'll recover, but not, and go right back in this thing. And then I'll say grace to you and peace from God our Father. Father, I thank you. My life's lived by grace and I have peace with you. And blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And just as he chose us in him, Father, that's incredible. I'm your choice. You chose me. There's a time to be born. My life isn't happenstance. I'm not just here because my mom and dad decided to have children. I'm here because you're the author and giver of life. And I have purpose and you found me and you rescued me. And I thank you. You chose me before time. And that's just how I read my Bible. You say, that's going to take you a long time. Well, look how I preach. I read to make all see, and I don't go back for 25, 40 minutes. You see why? Because it's in that place. Holy Spirit, fill my heart with the word. You get it? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Woo! Sounds like overwhelmingly overcoming right there, my brother. As soon as you read something like that, watch what this will benefit you in, guys. It'll destroy condemnation forever in your life, and it'll change your actions. It'll break cycles and addictions. You sit there and say, Father, I thank you I'm holy and blameless in your sight. Man, I haven't always thought good of myself, and because of that, I've made some bad mistakes, and I beat myself up, and even now, I was just feeling like, oh, man. But what I'm seeing is, you see me different. You see me holy. And the blood is speaking better things over my life. I am more than what I've been acting out, God. You see a better thing concerning me. And God, I'm going to start agreeing with you. I'm loved by you. I have potential. I have purpose. That sure beats sitting around sulking, believing you're a loser and you're going to fail yet today. Calling a friend for prayer because you feel down. Hello? A lot of the things that we're going through aren't prayer issues. They're truth issues. And we're asking for prayer so our feelings change instead of our belief. Because when your belief is in line, your feelings are amazing. You get it? And don't be afraid you'll get like me, and don't be afraid you'll get like her. How'd you get in here anyway? This is men's meeting. You sort of stuck on a mustache or something. You ain't even, she ain't even camoed. You with me? You follow me? You take your time. You read a line, two, three, four. You might read six, seven lines and then just start talking back to God what it's speaking to you. Start believing what it's saying. And if he says he loves you in that verse, thank him for it and tell him you believe it. I was pastoring for a while, and then I started to ask people a lot of questions about their personal relationship because I started to realize, wow, we're good at doing church. We're not as good at doing him. We all trying to get in a ministry, want a ministry, want a little microphone time, love to manifest. But I learned that we aren't real good at doing him. So when I'd ask questions, I found that a majority of Christians, when they were alone, were honest and said that when they were all by themselves, initiated out of their own heart, they never had an exchange with God's love and thanked him for loving them. They were actually struggling if he did. Countless Christians had never just been alone and said, "Father, thank you for loving me." That was a strange thought, that they didn't believe it, so they never said it. So wonder if you don't believe it. The Bible says he loves you. So no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're attached to, get alone with him and start declaring his love over your life. And watch what starts happening. "Father, thank you that you love me. God, thanks for increasing revelation and understanding in me. But I'm done living condemned. I'm done believing lies. Man, you say you love me in your word, and I have to believe your word. Thanks for loving me." You do that when nobody's looking. Stretch your hands to heaven. It's amazing how real that gets. Because at that moment, you're either out of your mind, you probably ought to get a hobby, or he's real and he'll meet you there because you're seeking him there. Yeah? Just take this for what it's worth. As a pastor that asked a lot of questions and spent time with a lot of people over the years, a large majority of people have never communed with God and acknowledged his love and how he sees them. And that's what changes your life. So it's not strange to me that that's been hidden from people. And we got good at doing church instead of doing him. You with me? You take Ephesians 1 in your own time. You start reading through it and take your time. You start praying it out, talking to God, commune with him. Talk to Holy Spirit. I talk to all three, man. I talk to Jesus. I thank him for the cross. I thank him for his humility. I tell him he's amazing. You're more than my Savior. You're such a hero to me. You have modeled life for me. You have shown me what life looks like in the Father. You are God and you came in the flesh. You value me so much that you would come through the womb of a woman. Freaks me out to this day that you would go to that extreme to restore humanity and restore what you intended. Your intention is amazing and eternal. That's how I talk to the Lord. It's exciting. He keeps the gospel so alive in me. So I'm not going to get tricked saying, "They said what? Well, I can't believe they feel that way. Well, that hurt." Bah, no way, man. I'm just too, you see? It's because of this. It's his fault. He'll take the blame. I blame it on him. Don't be afraid you'll get like me. Don't be afraid you'll get like her. That'll scare you worse. Don't you throw that up here. You just be the best you. You ain't compared to nobody. You be the best you. Come here, man. I need to help. I need you to help me with something. Come on, man. Put your arm around me, my bud. You going to mistake us? You going to mistake us? But if you get to know him and you get to know his name and you get to know me, are you going to walk up to him and call him me and think, "Oh man, I thought you was Dan"? Or do we look distinctly different? Is there any way to confuse us so we don't look like each other, but we can both look like him? That's amazing. Because he's him. And I'm me, and he ain't trying to be me, and I ain't trying to be him. But what makes us one, we can both be like him. And that's amazing, because then you get to see what he looks like in him and what he looks like in me. And that makes us brothers. Are you with me? Thanks. Yeah? You want to close this out, prayer or something? Or you want me to close this out in prayer? What do you want to do? I always try to pass it to you. When you try to pass it to me, I say, "Nah, nah." And you're so gracious. He's like, "Well, Dan said." You're so funny, man. Yeah, Dan. There was no way I was getting up there earlier today. You was on it, buddy. That was God. We were on a roll, man. Wasn't that good this afternoon when everybody shared how it all locked together? No, I'm glad we came. I had fun with you guys. I want to, let's just stand to our feet, can we? Let's just, you want to play?
I would love you to. Just flow, man. Just play. You don't have to sing yet, but just play, man. Love him with your keyboard. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing right now. I just feel like we should stand and honor him. And in light of all that's been shared from your own heart. Yeah, this is good. This now I'm here. From your own heart, respond to him right now. Be personal. If you appreciated the word this weekend, if things touched your heart and convicted you, if there's some things you heard louder than other things, just acknowledge that to your own soul and to God. God already knows, but it's good to acknowledge these things. Just acknowledge, man, I heard you on that. If you've been thinking low of yourself for a long time, just tell him right now, man, you're turning the tables on that thing. If you love me and you treasure me enough to send your son, who am I to think low of myself when you're trying to lift me up into who you are? So I receive your love today. Some of you, if you've never just said, God, thank you for loving me, now would be an amazing time to start that. Please do yourself the biggest favor of your life and receive his love. Just respond to him, guys. We've been here a whole bunch of times together, man. Let's get good at doing him. Believe you're holy, blameless, and above reproach. You say, well, I haven't lived that way for the last couple days. So fall that on the mercy of God and say, duh. Just say, duh. What was I thinking? My life is more than those last couple days. And God, you have planned so much more for me than this. I'm done. I'm done. I'm renouncing the things of flesh. I'm done with just fleshy desires. I'm done with just existing. I'm done with secrets. I'm done with, if you've had trouble just living in the dark, just living in secret, just living in secret, violating your conscience, just tell him, I'm done with secrets. Help me and empower me to live beyond this thing, because my life is more, or you wouldn't have paid for it. Come on, everything you're believing goes back to the cross. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have paid for you. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have came as a man. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have said once for all. He'd have said except for you. Come on. We're going to believe the gospel. We're going to be believers. And if we believe in him, the things he did will do. And if we believe in him, John 7, as the scriptures say, out of our belly will flow rivers of living water. Come on, that's productivity. That's life change. That floods dry ground. You got rivers flowing out of your belly, dry ground's getting wet. Yeah. Come on. Lord, I thank you for grace in this room. I thank you for grace on these men. They're individual men, but together you make us one. But they're individual men. They're all in different places. They all have different memories and comings and goings. Meet every man right where they're at and raise them up out of whoever they've been, and make sure, God, that today they're sealed in who you paid for them to be. Lord, not one man is exempt. We all have a right to stand before you through the blood and march out on this thing and go after it and never look back. Yeah, never look back. If you've cycled in your life, make a decree. Don't say, oh, I did that 10 times. And no, I am not going back, God. I thank you for empowering me. And the reason I'm not going back, watch, isn't because it's wrong to go back. I'm not going back because I'm your son, because you love me, because you called me to greater things, because your life is on the inside of me, because you have a destiny for me to walk in, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and there's a joy in this salvation. Come on, I'm not just not doing it because it's wrong. I'm not just trying to bite my lip and not repeat. I'm not doing it because I'm your son. Because my life is more than the flesh. I'm your son. Come on, some of you need to believe tonight you're his son. He said, if you believe, to him who believes have been given the right to be called the sons of God. It's not blasphemy. It's not hype. It's faith. And it crushes every adverse feeling. Who would agree, and who lived enough life to know that it's the feelings and the mindsets that encroached up on us that stole us from the truth almost all the time? So let's just be wiser and sharper today and say, you know what? I'm done with believing all those feelings and impressions. I'm going to start believing truth. My life is worth living, and he loves me, or he'd have never paid the price of his son. Yeah? Father, I ask you to bless these men in an immense way. Would you, if you want to, lift your hands just up high. Father, let grace come on these men. Grace to live unshakable and immovable. Grace, God, to know you like never before. Let empowerment come. Grace come to understand your word like never before. Guys that have struggled reading the word, let grace make them hungry and inquisitive. And let a searching, seeking heart be found in these men. I'm asking you, God, to come and empower your men as we reach to you and say, we need your help. We need your grace, God. We yield to you like clay. Make us what you paid for. Father, I'm asking for grace on these men. Holy Spirit, come and empower. Wherever there's weakness, meet them with strength. You know every individual. Come, you know the room, Lord. Do what you do best. Make men what you made for. We're ready and we say yes. Now I'm asking you to grant wisdom and understanding. I hear this over and over, like no time before. Wisdom and understanding, a comprehension of the word. Our hearts seeing and saying yes. Not our heads, our hearts saying yes. I see this thing. And Father, I pray for a grace where tonight would be considered a point of no return. That many men would find this testimony this weekend. Wow, turning point. I never went back there. I never went back to that place. I never, ever went back there. Come on, I see that. I see that. Don't be afraid to declare that. Don't be afraid to believe that. I see that. Wow, a turning point. I never went back. Never went back. Come on. Yeah? You writing that down, buddy? You know how much that was for you, right? You know that was a good word for you, right? I don't even know you. I don't even know your name. My heart's been drawn onto you the whole night, man. Can you look at me for a second? You be encouraged in this season, okay? Your heart's sincere inside. I feel like sometimes you've been hard on your own self. Sometimes your own worst enemy. And God loves you. He points at no return. That identity message is a salvation message for you. You go into bed tonight looking in the mirror before you cash it in, man, and say, thanks for loving that man. Look right in them eyes and say, thanks for loving that man. You wake up in the morning, put a note on your mirror if you have to. But when you get there, look right in them same eyes in the morning and say, whoa, there's a man you love. Yeah? Grace is coming to your life. I see this. Now listen to what I see. Look, I ain't going to expose nothing. Listen, I see a struggle ending in your life, and I see you starting to believe a truth that's always been there. And it's your answer. It's your freedom. Yeah? Okay. Isn't God good? Yeah? Yeah. Whew. Look at all these intruders. No. Come here. Come here. I know when I hear the Lord. Let me get that mic hot for you, Walker. No. You just close your eyes. Don't be distracted. Listen to Jesus. You pray for these men. Yeah. You pray for these men. It's so the Lord. Pray for these men. Receive this prayer from Miss Tracy in a men's meeting. She didn't even put on a beard or mustache or nothing. She came as she is. And I heard the Lord say, have Miss Tracy, it's honoring.
I heard the Lord say, have Miss Tracy close out these men in prayer. And what I pray through her heart will stick on these men. I know when I hear this stuff. Yeah. See?
So, Father, I just thank you for each man here tonight, Lord. I hear the Lord saying it is a point of no return. But there is an accountability walk that's rising up in each one of you. It's an accountability that the Holy Spirit's going to start speaking. And there's going to be a new accountability level rose up because of this weekend. Whoa, Jesus. So Lord, I just thank you, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, because men are our leaders, God. And as you go, we go. As you go, we go. As God leads, you go, we go. The families go. The children go. I ask, Father, that you fill their hearts with this word, God. I ask for a deeper hunger. They've been hungry, Lord, but there's more, God, to read your word and a point of no return, Father God. And we cover each one of them in the blood of Jesus, God, as they go tonight. And Lord, I thank you for an intentional spirit that's going to rest with them, God, everywhere they go. A spirit that's intentional for you, Father God, that they recognize in the small and the big things who you are and where you are and where you are with them. And when they think that you're not even with them, Father God, that they're going to recognize that you are, God. And I just believe that there's one or two of you in here that before you came in here this weekend, you were just hearing lies. And I believe that they've all been broke. That there's a truth of foundation that's been set in the place of the voice that was trying to torment you. Because you are confident men before God. You are confident champions. You're champions and you're building champions everywhere you go. So Lord, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We bless them in the name of Jesus, Father God. Are you guys hearing anything? Where are you at? Amber and Miss Ann? Whoa. Are you hearing? Come on.
Thanks, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, that they would know you. Whoa. And that the world would see you in them, God. And they would bring you glory and honor in their lives, God. That they would know you intimately, Lord. Whoa, that their heart would burn with you, God. And with your desires, Jesus. I bless them, God.
Mama, come on. We got to close out with a mama prayer. Come on. You gave me the mic, Dan. Sorry, guys.
I thank you, Father God, for these champions. I thank you, Lord God, that they are set for war. I thank you, Father God, that they're going in the Spirit, and they're going to hear the Holy Spirit in them, and they're going to do as the Spirit says. They go forth as champions.
Come on, man. We bless you as you go. Pray for each other. Love on each other. Whatever you feel led. But we just want you to know, this is a turning point. Write it down. Believe in faith. Come on. We bless you as you go. Traveling mercies over each of you. If you could be here tomorrow, we have a morning and an afternoon. Go to your home church, of course. But if you can, if you want to come in the afternoon, that's awesome. We bless you to go. We bless you to love on Jesus. Man, it's so good in here. So good. So that's why I'm going to give you permission. Because you're asking, should I stay or should I go now? You do whatever you want. There's freedom. That's what freedom looks like. Tomorrow is 10 o'clock and 2:30. Amen. Dan said, thank you, everyone, for an amazing weekend. Give yourselves a hand.